Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gravita India Limited Q3 FY24 conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please call an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now transfer conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manuja. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the 3Q FY24 earnings call of Gravita India. From the management, we have Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, Full-Time Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Kansal, CFO, on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Malhotra for opening remarks, post which we open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Malhotra.
Thank you, Mr. Manish. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q3 and 9-month financial year 2024 earnings call. Today, we'll be discussing our company's financial performance and strategic decisions. Our investor presentation is available on the exchange, and we hope you have had a chance to review it. I'm pleased to announce that Gravita India has demonstrated robust performance during Q3 and 9-month financial year 2024. Before we delve into the results, I would like to share some project updates. I'm pleased to announce that Gravita's step-down subsidiary, situated in Tanzania, East Africa, has started commercial production of recycled PP granules from its new plastic recycling plant, having an annual capacity of around 1,800 metric tons per annum. The company will be procuring domestic plastic scrap for production from this plant, and it will cater to the needs of plastic manufacturing industries situated in Europe and Asia. This plant will help the company to optimize its sales mix by increasing the contribution from plastic business. Let's now discuss the operational performance. Coming to capacity expansion, we are making significant strides towards our goal of attaining a capacity of 4.25 lakh metric tons per annum by financial year 2026. As of 23rd January 2024, Gravita had expanded its capacity to 2.86 lakh metric tons per annum compared to 2.33 lakh metric tons per annum on 31st March 2023. I'm pleased to announce that the production has increased by 17% in Q3 financial year 2024 on year-on-year basis. However, the company has witnessed a sales volume drop of 7% in Q3 financial year 2024 on a year-on-year basis. Lead volume increased by 2% to 34,488 tons on a Q-on-Q basis, whereas aluminum and plastic volume dropped by 3,264 tons and 2,458 tons, respectively. The reason for drop in volumes was due to logistics disruption. To reiterate our CapEx plan for the future expansions, to reach the targeted capacity of 4.25 lakh metric tons per annum by financial year 2026, we will be incurring a CapEx of approximately rupees 600 crores by financial year 2026, covering both existing and new verticals. The estimated CapEx for existing and new verticals is approximately rupees 400 crores and rupees 200 crores, respectively. Sorry. Moving to financial results for 9 months financial year 2024, consolidated revenue for 9 months financial year 2024 increased by 12% to rupees 2,297 crores. 47% of revenue in 9 months financial year 2024 came from value-added products, in line with our vision of achieving 50% revenues from this category. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA for 9 months financial year 2024 increased to rupees 238 crores, up by 19% on a year-on-year basis. Consolidated PAT showed an increase of 24% to rupees 170 crores in 9 months financial year 2024 compared to same period last year. PAT margin increased to 7.4%. Coming to Q3 financial year 2024, revenue for the quarter witnessed a slight drop of 2% to rupees 758 crore on a year-on-year basis because of drop in volumes, which were impacted due to logistics disruption. However, this was largely offset by increased realizations. On a year-on-year and QoQ basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by 26% and 11% respectively to rupees 90 crores. EBITDA margins also showed a significant increase to 12% compared to 9% in Q3 financial year 2023. Gravita reported a consolidated PAT of 60 crores with a 20% and 4% growth on a year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis respectively. PAT margin remained steady at 8%. In conclusion, I would like to emphasize that Gravita is making significant strides towards realizing its ambitious Clear Vision 2027. Our emphasis on diversifying into new business verticals, targeting a revenue CAGR of 25%+ and profitability growth of 35%+, achieving a ROCE of 25% and increasing the non-lead business to 25%+ highlights our commitment to sustainable development. Successful strategies such as capacity expansion, increased proportion of value-added products, and proactive risk mitigation through back-to-back hedging have contributed to strong and sustainable margins. With our global presence, integrated supply chain, and stakeholder support, we are confident in realizing our Vision 2027. That's all from my end. I would now request to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kushal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Can you explain more on this logistics disruption?
Excuse me, Mr. Kushal, can you be a little louder, please?
Yeah. Sir, can you explain the logistics disruption, how long the impact would be, the quantum of impact and everything on that end?
So basically, this logistics disruption came because of this Red Sea issue. So we expect to be over by this quarter end, current quarter end, or latest by April end. So, but we, as for the company, we are taking some alternatives. We are using certain strategies to mitigate this impact on the bottom line of the company. So we are moving certain goods to India also, to other territories also, to maybe remain on lower on the volumes, but to maintain the bottom line.
So quantum of impact. Batches from overseas plants to Europe were disrupted because of this issue. And also from India, some exports from our Mundra plant was disrupted. So we are looking at alternatives to sell this material to some other markets probably, and also bring some material from our overseas plant into India, which will impact our revenue for some time, but it will not have the major impact on the bottom line during this period.
Quantum of impact, if you can, for this quarter would be around?
Sorry?
Quantum of impact would be for this quarter?
So quantum of impact on the volumes, approximately 100-120 crores of revenue.
Sure.
Equivalent volumes.
Sure. That's it, Om sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, a little louder, please, if you can.
Yes.
But otherwise, you are audible. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand from you, what we've seen in OP for the lead business in particular, which is at 23 rupees a kg, and it appears to be more on the higher side of what we believe is the normalized operating profit. So can you just let us know, is there any one-off there sitting there, or what is the reason for this higher operating profit per ton on the lead business?
Basically, as we discussed, that there was some logistic issue of Red Sea, and there was some volume impact where we could avoid certain volumes. So when we when the situation, this kind of situation is there, when we are not able to increase the volume, so the lower margin business, which is where like the tooling business, where we get slightly lower you know, per ton EBITDA, so we avoid to do that kind of business. And at that point of time, overall per ton EBITDA, you know, improves, but with the lower volumes. So that strategy was there in this quarter specifically, where volumes were lower, per ton was higher. But yes, this is a not a normal situation. So we expect to be, whenever the normal volumes comes after this issue is resolved, so we should be normal to the 18 to 19 rupees per kg of margins.
Sure. So that will get then compensated by higher volumes. So that is how that gets compensated.
Correct.
And so when we say we'll be moving certain materials to the Indian manufacturing sites for recycling, does that essentially mean that there will be some impact on working capital as well?
There will be some impact on the working capital cycle. But at the same time, currently we are enjoying some arbitrage because Indian market is a little favorable. So I think it will be more than compensated for the by having some additional realization. Yeah. So this quarter also the margins were higher. So overall, when we get this material to India, so we slightly get better margins. So that point of time, the ROC remains same. But at the same time, we cannot import all the material to India. So it will have some impact if this situation continues in the Q4 also.
Fair to understand that there will be certain impact on volumes in the fourth quarter as you look how best to optimize given the situation that we are facing. And that you will try and optimize or set off that by doing higher margin products for the time being. And then look at it more structurally to see how things can be worked out.
Yeah, so because we have long-term contracts, so it's not easy to find new customers. Probably on the short term, it may have some impact, but because our production is not going down, our production has increased, our capacities have also increased, so in the longer run it will come back to normal very soon.
And in volume terms, what could that impact be, if you could quantify? You've given the revenue impact, but what could be the volume impact because
so
of this?
Because there is no price fluctuation, so the revenue impact is only, you know, the volume impact and revenue impact is same, because there is no price fluctuation.
not much fluctuation in prices.
So we should ideally take whatever is the LME plus your conversion and the margin there, and then try and get a number of the volume. That would be a fair number on the volume.
Correct.
Okay. And so this impact is not purely on lead. It's on other products as well because of this Red Sea issue?
I don't know. Yeah, so just slightly more in case of plastics, because plastic plastic is not able to come to India. So lead we can, you know, bring to India, but plastic is not the case for India, so it's more impact on plastic. And so aluminium also, because in our case, most of the aluminium gets manufactured in overseas plant only. So the proportion of aluminium production in overseas is more than 70%. So therefore, the impact in aluminium also is there.
So lead, the tepid and volume growth is not purely on account of logistics. There is some other factor as well.
No, it's purely on account. So because the production is higher, so we have more stock finished goods available in our factory, which will probably be diluted in this quarter probably, or otherwise at the max next quarter.
Understood. And so the alternate route to reach Europe will mean what degree of higher freight cost that you would have to incur? If
so right now it's basically very difficult to ascertain, because Even at the current level, the freight costs have gone 7 to 8 times. So it's very difficult to ascertain. But I think it will normalize over a period of time, in the sense that either the premium to these markets will come down, and similarly the price of raw material will also drop a little. But these disruptions only have an impact on a short-term period. In the long-term, everything will then normalize. I mean, either because if the freight cost remains higher, then what will happen is that if the premium for the product from these countries into Europe will drop down a little to compensate for the increase in freight cost. But similarly, the raw material cost will also drop down. So it's only in the short-term basis that these things impact you a little.
Understood. Then our contracts have the capability to or the flexibility to bill them at a higher cost, because this is something which is obviously not in the normal course of business.
So as I mentioned, that in the shorter term, no. But in the longer term, of course, either we'll have to give in and reduce some premium, or they will increase the premium and things like that will happen.
Understood.
But as I mentioned, that it will also have impact on the raw material costs from these countries.
So overall, RM will also go down for you, which comes to you in terms of...
Yes, if this thing continues for a longer period.
Okay. And the scrap for this is procured. So is it, so from the plants where we are manufacturing, this is more inbound raw material that comes through, or it's more locally sourced material and that gets recycled?
Yes, it's more locally sold material.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's not only us, the prices for logistics increases for everybody else. So the fair thing is that it gets distributed across the supply chain or the value chain. So if the premiums go down, in the long run, the prices of the raw material will also come down.
So a fair assessment will be that because RM is locally sourced, you see pricing going down there, and given material is not moving efficiently to the European markets, most of recyclers like you will probably demand a higher premium because an alternate freight route has to be then developed. So that is how, from a more medium to long-term perspective, profitability comes back, but the short-term disruption has to be managed.
Absolutely. You're right.
Okay. So this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suruchi Parmar from NX Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask about the aluminium. EBITDA per metric ton aluminium has dropped from the last quarter as well as from the last year also. So what is the reason for that?
Okay, so basically, as we discussed every time this part, so basically in case of aluminium, we are not fully hedged on the metal side, because this is a aluminium alloy which we deal into. So we don't find any solution for hedging of this metal. So whenever there is a price fluctuation, so it impacts the per ton EBITDA margin also, and sometimes volume also. So we curtail certain volumes which are taking more working capital cycle or cash to cash cycle. So we avoid those kind of, to avoid certain risk. So that is the reason where the per ton EBITDA of aluminium business. So till the time we find a solution for this hedging, and in this case we are talking to MCX also for giving us a solution for hedging of aluminium alloy, the product which we are dealing into. So till the time we are finding such solution, we are slightly, the margins on this aluminium alloy will be fluctuating.
And also the freight cost has increased, as I mentioned earlier. It has also impacted to some extent the EBITDA margins. But we see some recovery from next quarter onwards. We are already seeing some changes there. And we believe that in the next quarter, the EBITDA margins would probably be a little better than this quarter in aluminium.
So going forward, our lead business will be the same amount, or the lead will paper down and this aluminum, plastic and whatever.
So the sustainable margin is around. Yeah, so basically the sustainable margin for lead is 18 to 19 rupees currently, and for aluminum it should look, so currently it is approximately 9 rupees per kg, which should go up to 10 or 11 rupees per kg in a shorter term, and in the longer term it should go back to the normal level of 16, 17 rupees per kg.
Okay. Okay, sir. And can you just tell about, like you said, that revenues are the volumes offset by the increase in realization. So in which segment the realization has actually increased, in lead, aluminum or plastic?
No, it is improved, slightly improved in case of lead only, where we improved certain, because certain goods were shipped from overseas to India where we do certain value addition. So in that case, the realization pattern is improving. So in lead, generally we cover both the markets, Indian market as well as global market. Whereas in aluminium, entire sales is outside India. I mean, approximately maybe 90% of the sales is outside India. So we could not take advantage of bringing that material into India. Okay. In aluminium.
Okay, so bringing into India is beneficial for us for the revenues part or?
Yeah, so in case of lead, we find certain arbitrage opportunities by selling into India, but that is not the case for aluminium, because aluminium we have only single market outside India. So we are So the opportunity which is available for lead, where we can improve certain relations, better relations at certain times when the Indian market is higher.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll join back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Monsort Adventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, pardon me for the slightly longish question. In recent times, we started to venture into so many recycling avenues like aluminium, steel, paper, and all that. We have ambitions to do that. For that, we need a good sourcing for these materials. Do we have that sourcing infrastructure ready for the plants to run? Point number A. And point number B, we are not hedging the newer aluminium and steel, and what is the hedging strategy for all the materials? And to put that into context, if you don't have both of the things ready, it is like venturing into uncharted waters and not having proper plan for that.
Yeah, so I think it's a very relevant question. To answer your first question, definitely we have our own sourcing in place, sourcing system in place, where we source everything, including the new verticals also that we are dealing into, and we will only put up a plant when we are 100% confident of having that arrangement where we can source raw material for the new plant, whether it is for paper or for steel or for any other commodity. So that is a prime thing to consider when we go into a new vertical, whether we can source that material or not. So that definitely would be there. To answer your second question, definitely that is a challenge that is going to come. And we constantly look at opportunities to find a solution to that. And as I mentioned earlier, probably we are in discussion with MCX in India to set up a hedging mechanism. Unfortunately, it is taking a little longer because it is something that is totally new to the exchanges. Because it's not a very freely traded commodity, there are certain specifications issue that can crop up. So it generally take a little longer time, but we are expecting probably by first quarter next year to have this aluminium hedging in place. The other alternative is to keep a constant flow of material
and a constant amount of iron stock in your kitty. So what happens is that whenever I'm buying, I should have a natural hedge. I should have an order from a customer for the material that I'm buying today. So that is what we are keeping. But when the volumes grow, then having then maintaining this iron stock is very difficult. So we are constantly looking at opportunity to do this. But what we assure you is that it is only a impact on a quarter to quarter basis. Because if you keep the same business model on, then whatever losses you have made when the prices come down, you will recover those losses when the prices go up. If you keep the inventory level common. So although it may impact on a year-to-year basis, but because we only take the margins, the conversion margins, it will not impact us in the longer run.
All right, sir, just a follow-up on that. You said that you make up the gains in the next quarter and on year-on-year it looks quite fine. But the problem is that it increases volatility in earnings and it also introduces fragility in the business. And from investors' perspective and from the business perspective, that fragility is not right. It would be very prudent to have a hedging solution that will back-to-back hedge. And point B is that whatever the apart from aluminium, other commodities, are they, can they be hedged, or they also have some specification issues which can't be hedged?
So I'll tell you, for example, in plastic generally, and we are moving towards more and more tolling arrangements. So what happens in this case is that we already have arrangements with the customer to provide them, say, around a particular volume of business per month. And we only procure that much material during that month. So it's more like a tolling business. We buy from their factories raw material or waste material, process it and give it back to them. So that is another alternative that we are working on very closely with OEMs. So that will also take care of any volatility that may affect your business.
Okay, you are saying that in other avenues which we are foraying into, steel, paper and plastics, we don't have to deal with this
steel,
not problem.
Steel. I'm talking about plastic currently. Steel, steel is a little, further away in terms of implementation of a new vertical. We are currently looking at plastic, aluminium, paper, and then probably steel, lithium and recycling, and then steel will follow up. So what I'm talking about right now is up from aluminium and plastic perspective.
Okay. So my last question is on what is the technology?
Sir, can you, sorry to interrupt, can you join the queue again?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shabri Azarika from MK Globe. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So, two questions. Firstly, in terms of this Red Sea disruption, so Q3 numbers were the worst of it, or are we seeing Q4 turning out to be similar, or especially on the freight side, whatever numbers you have posted in Q3 that captures the jump in freight, or in Q4 we could see that go up?
So to answer your question, it is very difficult to say. But the thing is that we are looking at finding solutions. Generally, in the shorter term, it will impact you more because you don't have any alternatives in the short term. But in the longer term, we are now trying to find out customers' orders from places other than Europe. So in the shorter term, it is very difficult to move material from one source to another source. But in the longer term, probably in Q4, we would find a solution so that we will divert the material that was supposed to go to Europe and it will go somewhere else. So hopefully it will be better than Q3.
Okay, so you expect Q4 to be better than Q3 in terms of the operational numbers, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Freight also, you are saying that Q4 will not see any jump in freight costs compared
to
Q3.
We don't know. We don't know whether freight will increase or not, but we'll find a solution in the sense. So if the freight remains high to go into Europe, then we'll probably not sell enough in Europe and we'll sell to some other geographies, maybe Asia or maybe US or things like that.
Right, sir. And this Red Sea disruption, I mean, there's no movement of ships or how
movement
how
is there. Movement is there, but it will impact the bottom line, and that again is the bottom line for us also, because we don't want to disturb the bottom line. So we will look at an option where the net realization is the highest. So if even after the freight cost, European realization would be the highest, then we'll sell in Europe. Otherwise, we'll divert that material to some place else where the realization is higher.
Okay. Thanks. And second question is, can you give us some idea on what is the current scenario in terms of like lithium ion recycling in India, and what are your latest plans with respect to that?
I think in the shorter term, nothing has changed. We are still very keen, and still India is it's premature to talk about lithium and recycling currently, because it may take 5 to 6 years for actual volume to come into recycling for lithium ion. But we are very keen. Even right now, our technical team is in China looking at options to put up a pilot project in India at Mundra. So hopefully you will see some action by quarter one of next year.
I mean, there are some small companies which are into lithium ion recycling. So
sorry to interrupt, Shabri.
Yeah, no, it's a follow-up. It's a follow-up to this question only.
Please.
So just wanted to know, I mean, in terms of like technical know-how and other things, are you like interested in those kind of opportunities?
Yeah, definitely. If there are some technologies available that can give a breakthrough into lithium-ion battery recycling, definitely we are looking at such opportunities also.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Fialoke from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, Yogeshji. I have three quick questions, if you would allow me. The first one is, could you share the closing inventory number for this quarter?
Yes, closing inventory number is approximately 690 crores.
And essentially the 120 odd crores that has increased, that is kind of what the order that got stuck, but you have already manufactured.
Correct. So we have certain finished goods, but we could not ship it because of this reason. And certain goods were in transit, which we moved from overseas to India. So because of these two issues, the inventory got slightly higher.
And just a clarification on the EBITDA per ton for lead, essentially what you said was there is, because of such a disruption, there is opportunistic sort of pricing available in the market, and that's what we have taken advantage of, which will definitely normalize as soon as the volume situation normalizes.
Yeah, so it's partly because of the arbitrage opportunity, and partly also because when you reduce the volumes, that give you the minimum EBITDA numbers.
Sir, but what kind of business was that? I mean, because for example,
tolling business, although the ROC is equal or even higher than the ROC that is given by the other business, but the EBITDA margins are slightly lower in tolling business also. Because there is no working capital requirement, there is no capital requirement as well. So generally, we also consider ROC so ROC is also equally important to us, as is EBITDA margins. So because we are dealing into various mechanisms, various geographies, so EBITDA margins on a consolidated level is 18 to 19 rupees. But if you look at each and every business per se, then ROC is a better marker to understand which business is more lucrative for us. In this case, because the volumes are going down, so we decided to, and also because there was no alternative for us to sell our product, our overseas material into, we imported that material into India. So the EBITDA margins have increased, but as you see that the volume, the inventory levels have also gone up. So the ROC has dipped a little, although it is still more than 25% that we have benchmarked ourselves for. But if we had done tolling business, then the ROC would have improved a little, but the EBITDA margins would have come down.
Got it.
EBITDA margins per ton, but the overall EBITDA per ton, overall EBITDA would have, absolute EBITDA would have gone up.
Understood, sir. I understand what you're saying. Sir, could you give us the current capacity for lead specifically?
So, the current capacity for lead is 231,000 and the total capacity is 286,000.
Understood. Last question, sir. On the presentation, you report an order book which for the last two quarters has been around in the 60,000 tons number. Could you just help us understand what this order book is? Does it generally have the age of one quarter, or does that also include some longer term contracts? Love to understand what that number really represents.
So it covers both. It covers both long term also and short term also. Generally, we have a contract with any OEM for a year. The quantities are fixed, but the prices are based on that month's price. So some of the contracts are for entire year. Other contracts could be for a quarter also. So it includes the contracts with the OEMs and certain contracts with the large metal traders like Trafigura, Glencore.
Understood.
Also, which they undertake certain quantities based on the pricing could be on the market price basis.
Understood. So, is there an average age for this order book that you generally sort of think of? I'm just trying to understand from this order book how things look.
So orders are generally for the contract is basically, as I mentioned, that on a weighted average, it could be very difficult to 3 to 4 months. But generally, the contract is for the entire year with some of the OEMs. But the prices keep on changing. You know, so what, for example, there's the OEM says Exide. So they will give you a firm commitment to buy, say, 1,000 tons per month for the next year at a particular premium over the LME of that month.
Correct, sir. I understand. And that 12,000, the entirety of that 12,000 is included in the 60,000 number.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janisha Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, if you can just help us understand the adjustment that we have done in the footnote below the results, about 18.8 crores adjustment for 9 months and in the quarter. So what exactly is that adjustment? And in the previous quarter also, we have made some reversals. So if you could just explain that.
Yeah, so basically what we do is the intent is to make some clarification on the amount of hedging or currency and commodity hedging which we which is part of the other income which we take as a consideration into the operational income. So that amount reflects that part which we have considered taken in the other income but considered in the operational income.
Okay, so we have classified 18.8 crores from other income to operational income. Is that understanding,
yes, right? Correct.
Okay, so what would be the absolute amount of commodity hedging gains for the quarter?
So commodity is approximately 20 crores.
Okay. And that would be forming a part of the revenue.
Yeah, so that's a basically, effectively, that is a part of revenue.
Okay, but in financials, where is it exactly disclosed if it's 20 quarters and so not?
This is reflected in the financials in the other income.
Okay. Secondly, there is a decline in the segmental assets for aluminium, plastics and turnkey segment. So, is there any assets that we have sold for this division?
So, we have not sold anything.
Segmental assets that we report in the segmental financials below the P&L. So, there is a decline on the sequential basis.
No. So, that represents including the assets, including the working capital, the inventory and the receivables also.
Okay. So could you please explain, if we see the reported EBITDA per kg for aluminium segment for the quarter is around 9 rupees per kg. But if I calculate the EBIT per kg for aluminium division, it's approximately around 11 rupees. So why is the EBIT higher than the EBITDA?
Yeah, so there is a decrease of depreciation also.
Okay.
And there is a there is a below the line there is a unallocated income also, which represent there is certain hedging loss also, which is in case of aluminium there is a hedging loss of around 1.8 crore 80 lakhs, which is reduced from this EBIT for calculating the pattern EBITDA.
Okay, understood. Understood. So next is, if you could just help us the CAPEX spends for the 9 months for existing and new vertical.
CAPEX for, you're talking about CAPEX for?
For the 9 months FY24, how much have we spent?
So we have spent approximately, so total CAPEX is 85 crores, 78 crores we have spent in 9 months. Out of this, approximately 10 crores is for new verticals, which is rubber. So now we are in the process of replicating the rubber, which is recycling vertical, and replicating from, we started from Ghana, and now we are replicating it to Mozambique, Senegal, Tanzania, all the locations. And later we plan it to put it in India also.
Okay, and 68 crores will be for the existing verticals. So in our presentation, we have guided for FY24 CAPEX spend of 159 crores for existing verticals and 45 for the new verticals. So it will be deferred in the next year, right?
Yeah. So whatever leftover will be taken care of, will be taken forward for the next year, because there is a certain new verticals which we are working on, like lithium ion and paper recycling. Slightly, we are taking some more studies and more robust, you know, supply chain establishment before we go and spend some CAPEX on that.
Okay. And for the existing verticals, we have been guiding for a FY24 capacity of 324,000 metric tons, including rubber. So we'll be able to meet that with the limited CAPEX that we are doing in the existing and new verticals this year, or there will be some downward revision?
Of course, we are planning to have a new plant. So maybe we may not be doing it by March end, but maybe by April or May we should reach this target, because we are establishing Oman also. We are in the process of establishing rubber at all the locations, and we are expanding certain capacities in Mundra and Chittoor also.
So what are we budgeting the end of year end capacity? If not 324,000,
so it should be, we should reach to this target maybe slightly 1 month delay.
Okay, understood. What would be the cash flow from operations and working capital days as on December? If you can just the cash flow from operations and working capital days.
Sorry to interrupt, Janish. Can you join the queue again?
Yeah, sure. No.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from Picadia Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Yogesh. Hi, Sunil. Thank you for taking my question. I have a couple of them. Number one, I know that, you know, we have given a vision of 35% CAGR and profitability for 2027. But as of the last three quarters, it feels like, you know, we are missing the mark there. So I just wanted to hear any reflections that you guys may have on how to look at that guidance from, maybe not from a four-year perspective, but even from this year and the next year's perspective with the new macroeconomic situations and the issue, challenges in the business.
We agree that I think we are a little off mark of the 35% bottom line that we suggested. Part of it is because of the aluminium prices. As we mentioned earlier, also the aluminium and plastic business didn't give us the kind of profits that we were envisaging earlier. I think we are on a recovery line, recovery path now. We already see some changes in aluminium and also plastic. In plastic also, I think we were expecting EPR to kick in a little faster, but I think it is a little slow in the sense that implementation of that EPR has taken some time. But we also see some changes happening now on the field. So we believe that these things will start giving us impact, if not in the next quarter, but definitely by first quarter of next year. So that will change the bottom line structure overall. And as far as revenues are concerned, we mentioned earlier also that is not very important because in some cases, when we import the material into India, there is some elimination also. But overall, this may not go in a perfectly straight line. I mean, it may not be a linear growth, but in the next 3 years, we see 35% overall CAGR. So some quarters may be a little lower in terms of that growth path, but eventually we will reach the committed path very soon.
Makes sense. So, my second question was going to be along exactly those lines, the aluminium and plastic business. I think there is an external event that you're hoping will happen, which is, the EPR policy gets implemented. And also, I think you guys are looking to set up with MCX some kind of financial products that enables you to go sustainable and, a stable business here. So just wanted to figure it from your guys' perspective. And I think you mentioned maybe a quarter or two quarters, but, are you hearing anything that is changing around these policies and is MCX about to come down? What do you guys think is going to be the timelines for this?
Yeah, so it's not about hearing. We are seeing things happening. We already are in discussion with quite a few OEMs. We have started picking up their material. But in terms of making some products out of it is taking a little longer because in plastic it's not very simple. You have to do a lot of trials before you end up making material that is suitable for the OEMs. So it is taking a little longer, but we are seeing things changing actually a lot due to this EPR. We are getting a lot of material also available, but in plastic, generally no two materials are same. So we are getting a lot of challenges in terms of how to segregate those materials and how to make something useful out of those materials. But we definitely are working on it and definitely it will have impact, as I mentioned, not probably in a quarter or two quarters, but we see that we are on the right path in plastic. In aluminium, of course, as I mentioned earlier also, because we are not hedging, so if there is any fluctuation in the prices of aluminium, it reflects on the bottom line of the business, which has been the case this year. But now the prices have stabilized and we don't see the prices going down from the current prices. The business has also stabilized. So we are planning to increase the volumes also. And of course, the overall bottom line will also improve going forward in aluminium. But in plastic, definitely, although it may take a little longer to stabilize, but we think that we are on the right path.
Got it. And lastly, the Red Sea issue, it's already been another month into Q4 and at least from the headlines that I can read, it doesn't seem like it's getting resolved anytime soon. So in terms of finding alternative buyers, you must already be well in the process of doing that.
Yes. We already have done it. We have diverted some of the material already, but getting a buyer for the entire production is not that easy because in the short term, not in the long term. As I mentioned that we have started diverting some of the material into India also, which has impacted the bottom line because some of it is in transit and some of it gets eliminated when you consolidate the entire the balance sheet. It will start giving effect from next quarter onwards. From this quarter, definitely, and from next quarter onwards, we will be able to dilute all the material, all the increased inventory that we have.
Got it. But then the margin will come down, right, when we start diluting this extra inventory?
Not much. We generally look at other options where, because freight cost is very important. So if we can somehow reduce that freight cost, there may be some issue, but increased volume will take care of that reduction in the prices or in the premium.
Per ton will go down, yes, but absolute
EBITDA margin will improve with the volumes.
Got it. Understood. Perfect. Thanks a lot. Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kush Nahar from Electrum Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just had one question. What would be our domestic sourcing percentage for our Indian plants this quarter?
Yeah, so it is slightly reduced. So the percentage is approximately 36% at this moment for this quarter.
36%. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to understand, we have this 2027 vision. So right now, our largely sale is dominated by lead and our capacity utilization is 57% overall. So this 2027 and future growth, which product segment will be the driver of growth?
So even in lead, we are considering a growth of around 15 to 20%, but others, definitely including plastic, probably will grow much faster. So our target is to bring down lead contribution to less than 75%, and 25% plus business would come from non-lead businesses. So out of that, of course, plastic would grow the fastest. Sitting today, we are estimating that plastic to grow much faster, but aluminium also would grow faster than lead. And then we are also talking about other businesses, rubber, paper, steel, lithium-ion battery recycling businesses would also contribute.
Today, how much is non-lead business? What is the proportion of today non-lead business?
Today, it's around 12 to 13%.
So, and we are targeting that we'll be able to achieve a 25% type of lead business, correct?
15 to 20% increase in lead business.
Meaning, I'm asking non-lead business, we are giving a target of 25%.
Yeah, so 25% plus, yes, correct. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, the next thing, sir, I'm new to the company. The first thing I want to understand is we have a plant in South Africa, 4 or 5 plants in South Africa. So basically, these are the plants for sourcing of scrap and recycling there, or it is these plants are also making the finished goods? Since all the plants are recycling as well as making the product also finished goods, selling to a customer, or what? How?
Yes. So all our plants overseas, there are 5 plants in Africa and 1 in Sri Lanka, currently doing recycling of lead, aluminium and plastic, and almost all of that material is sold to third parties. We only bring that material to India whenever Indian markets are more conducive as compared to the global markets. But otherwise, during normal operations, the entire product from these materials are sold to countries in Europe, US, Asia Pacific, China, Japan, etc. So they are making finished products and then selling it to these countries.
How much is our export sales out of overall contribution?
So total, we can say the international sales is currently 45%, which is used to 50% or 55% historically, slightly reduced because of this issue. So it's not export sales. We export certain goods from India also, but we can say the international sales which is sold outside India. So that is 45% at this moment.
Okay. Last thing, sir, we are also doing this recycling of rubber. Sir, we are doing this rubber recycling also. So this includes, I believe, a tire also. So I have seen a few players who are making, let's say, a 15-20% type of margin in rubber and tire. So are margin also in similar line, because fewer people are making a sodium silicate, fuel oil, steel wires. So are products also in same category and same margin, and maybe we are not able to see the blended margin or something else?
So currently, whatever tire recycling we are doing, we are using it for captive consumption only. So you don't see any differentiated margins in tire. So it's already incorporated in the margins of especially of lead and to some extent in aluminium recycling, because it's for captive consumption only. But the new tire plants that we are going to put up, we're going to show you a separate line for tire verticals also,
and the margins are definitely in the same line as you are mentioning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sharan, an individual investor.
Yeah, thanks.
So you're not audible.
Audible now? Hello?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah, now.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. I'd like to know the status of the Oman plant, which is like 50% joint venture. What is the status and by when it will get commissioned?
So we have already established a company there, a joint venture there. We've been allocated land by the Oman government, and the process is right. Now we are waiting for them to give a go-ahead to, so the environmental study also has been submitted to the government. Now we are waiting for them to give a clearance to set up a plant. The plant erection, the fabrication of the plant has already started. We have already fabricated more than 50% of the total plant. So we are now just waiting for that go-ahead in terms of clearances, environmental clearances from the government. Once that happens, I think, and we are estimating that by Q1 and or Q2 of next year, that plant will be operational.
Okay, and what all the recycling will happen there overall?
So in the first stage, we are recycling lead, but we are going to recycle lead, plastic, aluminium, all three in Oman.
Okay, and another question. So there are talks in the industries about solar panel and solar glass and other stuffs. As solar is getting pace, so that recycling, are you working with any of these solar companies, related companies, for doing a turnkey solution or any JVs for recycling related to that? Because solar contains many materials, like not just glass. Copper, aluminium, everything it contains, the whole panel.
So yes, I understand. But we are not looking at solar currently as a recycling vertical, because we already have our hands full. We are already thinking of too many lines. So as of now, because in any case, the life of a solar panel is around 25 years. So it will take some time. Although we understand that some of the solar panels have started coming for recycling, but even currently the volume is not that big. So probably eventually we'll go into solar panel recycling also, but currently it's not in the agenda.
Sure. And one quick question. Do you have any inorganic plan of any acquisition or anything?
Yeah. We keep looking at options of, but there has to be some value, in the sense that, as you know, we manufacture or we fabricate and design our own plants. So in India, it is very difficult to find a plant that is of the same level as we design. So we will not buy something in the existing verticals wherever we are present. But if it is, say, for example, taking over a lithium-ion battery recycling plant or maybe a paper plant, then we are very open to those things.
Okay, because as we see a lot of small companies which are into recycling but not in the same segment as you are, but different, like, for example, mobile or laptops or any electronics recycling. So just wanted to know if you are looking for
that. Yes, we constantly look at options of opportunity to for mergers and acquisitions also. And so if there is a good opportunity, then we'll definitely be considering that as well.
Okay. Yeah. Can you throw some quick light on the turnkey solution? How is that business going? And as India is, everyone is talking about, is a lot of manufacturing is coming here. So how is the turnkey solution you are seeing growth?
So currently the turnkey solution is only for the recycling verticals that we are into. So we only, as of now, we are only making lead recycling plants and aluminium recycling plants, and to some extent some plastic recycling products also, although not the complete plastic recycling line currently. And most of these, it's basically a very, it's more of a R&D for us. It's more of a thing to improve our operational efficiencies. So it helps us in putting our plant at a faster rate, and at a cheaper rate as compared to competitors, and also help us in improving our yield and efficiencies. But at the same time, we also sell it to customers who want recycling plants outside. So it's doing well as of now, giving us revenue. But in terms of revenue, it's not a very big percentage of the total revenue. Probably around only 1 to 2% of the total revenue comes from the turnkey projects. It's more of a strategical thing for us.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for the time and answer. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Malhotra for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you everyone for participating in this call. We trust that we have addressed all your inquiries during the session. However, if there is any remaining questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we extend our gratitude to all the participants for joining us today. Thank you and have a great day.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and now you may disconnect your lines. Thank you.